This is Shayna
and Chris,
and we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right, this week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have body count. I'm gonna circle back to body
circle
count
back.
Here.
We love a good circle back.
Circle on back. Yep. Mm. Body count is the number of people you've slept with or had sex with, either or. My sentence is, who the fuck cares if someone has a high body count?
Mm. Mm-hmm. All that we ask is that you use your protection.
Yeah, that's really it.
That's really it.
Yeah.
That's really it. Yeah. We had to circle back to that from a few episodes ago when we had the Am I a Bad Queer for being upset about being upset that their person was upset.
Right.
At their body count when... It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing about that. But yeah, they were upset about their partner's reaction to their number.
It's a big deal. The straights have a really, really big problem with that. I see that all the time. Like, men will always be like, oh, I don't want to know. And it's like,
yeah, it's because they don't want to be asked. That's why.
No, I'm talking about like with their girl having a high body count.
I know.
Because I don't know. They think that they're original or
go out and have this high body count.
Yeah.
Themselves. So I feel like it's a mixed bag of one, they don't want to be asked their body count because they're going to sound like a hoe because they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sit and I don't understand this whole like idea that some men have that my woman is wholesome and that was saved for me.
Yeah.
And me only. And I'm the best that she's ever had.
Ugh. You know how men say like women don't know what they want? Like men really don't because they'll do that lady in the street but freak in the bed thing. But then it's just like,
until they actually get the freak in the bed and they're like,
yeah. And then they're like, wait a minute. How?
You were like all this that. Before
it's
me?
It's just the weirdest thing. Yeah.
Clutch pearls. Clutch their pearls.
Yeah.
The manly man pearls.
The manly pearls, I guess. Yeah.
That's what we give them. Well, my Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is auntie.
Mm.
Auntie. Mm-hmm. Two different ways of phrasing this, especially with both Chris and I's intersectional identities. So you could see auntie from the queer community as an older, often effeminate and gossipy gay man, or from the Black community, younger people use this title to signal respect toward an older woman who has proven to be audacious and wise.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this sentence has nothing to do with either of these definitions because he was actually her niece, but it's the perfect movie to go with. So from Black Panther with Killmonger going, hey, auntie.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
iconic line.
Iconic.
Great line.
I actually got that from my nephew when he was first born and it had like Killmonger on it. Just said, hey, auntie.
Oh, that's cute.
I was very proud of that.
That's cute. It's a shirt or like a bib?
It was a onesie for him.
Oh, nice.
I got it when it was fresh. So I'm definitely going to get an updated version of it since he's big now. But he's in like that, like, oh, he can only wear these shirts like a couple of times and then
like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring it back in probably like a year or two.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard buying clothes and shoes for kids at that age. It's like, maybe get them a blanket or something.
You know,
just
things that stick around.
Know. Yeah. Hmm. Well, we have a lot to talk about.
We have so much to talk about. So let's jump into it. So praise Billy Porter. The category is Black Women's Equal Pay Day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that August 3rd was Black Women's Equal Pay Day?
I didn't. We're recording this on the 4th. I was like, what? And I literally found out on the 4th.
You missed the day yesterday.
I missed the day completely. I only found out because what we're about to talk about with Angela Bassett and Rihanna and everything. And it was
Black women making money. Black women making money.
Making money. Yeah. But just as a reminder, Black women make 63 cents to every dollar a white man makes. Latinas make 55 cents to every dollar a white man makes. So shout out to all of us not getting paid what we're worth, but still striving because it's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, news came out today that Rihanna is officially a billionaire. So congrats to her. I know it's not like fashionable to be a billionaire right now, but I kind of, you know, I'm all right with women and queer folks being billionaires, queer women being billionaires, because I just think the degree of difficulty is really high. So shout out to Rihanna because, you know, the Fenty brand is strong. And has,
like, and then she just like casually acting on the side.
Acting.
Her albums are still iconic and
she is
still
not
getting those
put
plays
out an album anytime soon.
No, and people honestly need to like stop asking her for it. Like there were so many posts about her you know, being a billionaire and then everybody reposting it and being like, okay, but when are we getting a new album though? And it's like, why can't she do this? It's almost like she has to get permission from us to go off and do like all of these other endeavors rather than just appreciating the fact that she's paving the way for so many people and actually like using her money for good rather than shooting a giant penis off into the atmosphere.
Pretty much.
Jeff.
That's what I feel like.
And
the thing is too, is like, what's amazing is like, I didn't think, I mean, if you had told me at the start of her career was like 2005, Rihanna would be a billionaire. I mean, not to say that I didn't think it would happen, but I would be like, oh, okay, how? Her other endeavors are just lucrative. And it's, I mean, you know, music industry, it's hard to make money. And she's come back from, she had an accountant that had stolen millions from her. She had to bounce back from that. Like, she's really just, you know, congrats to her. Like, she's worked hard to get there and everything. Her products are great. I am wearing Fenty boxers right now. I love it.
Yep, I'm still determined to get a robe. I want the robe.
I do want the robe. Yeah, there's a couple other items I'm looking to get. I'm also excited to see what else she does with that and everything. So we'll see. But shout out to her. And shout out to Angela Bassett for being the highest paid woman on TV. Mm-hmm. And definitely the highest paid Black woman on TV for 9-1-1, which you haven't watched yet, but it is great. I have not watched
it, but now I'm going to go and binge the fuck out of it. So
you got to. Yeah, it's chaotic and great and everything. It's just like the most random, crazy things happen to people. 9-1-1, which you could imagine, but it's like, all right, this is too much. Like, you'll see, like, the episode will start and like two people are kissing and then all of a sudden like their lips melt together and they can't, like, it's just shit like that where it's like it'll be like, what is about to happen to this person?
I did not think that was what you were going to describe, so now I'm really going to watch it. This is going to be great.
It's pretty good. It's chaotic. I love it.
Thank you for the chaos.
So shout out to them and shout out to Black and Latina women. It's just trying to make it through this crazy fucked up world. So, And I will put in my calendar that August 3rd is equal pay day. Like, I was like, what? Like, I was so mad. I didn't get the alert.
You didn't get invited to the party. You didn't see all the articles that went out yesterday about equal. You probably like read those articles and you're like, man, everybody's talking about something similar today.
I just didn't see it. I probably was working for my 63 cents. So it just completely missed it.
Yeah.
But next year, taking that day off.
full day.
You're gonna be like, nah. Taking that day off. Yeah. Fuck that. All right.
For real. All right. Well, next up category is the Olympics. There's lots of great queer things happening at the Olympics. First off, I want to shout out the people that are doing like Olympic TikToks because they have been great. Somebody did one where it showed like the list of all of the queer women that were at the Olympics, and I appreciated it because it was cool. Like, oh, like a handful here, a handful in this sport. Then they got to soccer and it was just a list upon a list another list of all of it. It brought me so much joy to see that. So thank you to all of the TikTokers.
Very queer Olympics.
So queer. And I love it. I love it so much. Speaking of the queer things that happened, we'll start off with Laurel Hubbard, who was the first openly trans woman to compete in weightlifting. Even though she wasn't able to do a lift, it was still historic being able to come out and perform. And of course, the reporters for the post interview of the women who won in the top three got the medals. Of course, the reporters tried to ask the winners. They were just like, oh, you know, Laurel was here and it was historic and all of this stuff and blah, and continued on this ramble. And then was like, what do you all think about it? Silence. Absolute, like, they were unfazed. The part that I appreciate was how unfazed they were. They just stopped. One of them just like took a sip of water. The other one just looks like, all right, next. And then the one main person who won, the woman who won the gold medal, she was just like, nope.
Simple. Trying to get their clickbait.
Simple.
Yeah. Nope.
And just kept it moving. And then it was like another pause. And then somebody else popped in and was like, cool. So I'm going to ask a question now. Thank you. And that, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It could have been out of pettiness. It could have been out of whatever else. I say, you know, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all, whether it was going to be supportive or not. And I am here for the silence.
Yeah. Silence is fine. We will get to it in a second, but silence is absolutely fine. Another quick note. Very interesting for the, trans women are taking over women's sports crowd that, you know, unfortunately for Laurel, not, you know, getting a medal or placing, but it was a strength event. So kind of just completely debunks their argument. Mm-hmm. Like I think we could put it to rest now. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, because according to their logic, Laurel should have a gold medal. No. Mm-hmm. And Laurel didn't place. Like she actually, you know, no disrespect, because she is still around.
Like, actually, she's an Olympian. The lowest of low on right.
This. Like, no, this, and this is girl, no disrespect, but she got smoked.
You did that.
So, I'm just saying, like, I'm like, y'all have these arguments, and this is like, it wasn't like it was like badminton or something. Like, she got smoked in a strength event, so mm-hmm. that completely debunks their whole, like, oh, no, they're gonna, yeah, no. So happy that it's hard to be, it's a bittersweet thing because right. It is a thing of like,
you're like, sorry for your failure.
Yeah. But you failed for us.
Thanks for proving the things that we've been trying to say all of this time. Yeah. That's kind of sorry that we had to sacrifice you.
Yeah.
To make our point.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, and especially like it just, the irony of it, the sport that she wasn't able to medal in, because mm-hmm. again, it's not like it's badminton or something that they could have like snaked around and said like, oh, like it's more, I don't know, skill or finesse. I don't know what the fuck they would probably say to get out of it. It's like, this is lifting. This right. is all strength and all these things that you say would give her the competitive advantage, and it didn't. Mm-hmm. So on the highest stage. So... just saying. So, you know, but congrats to everybody that did medal, and they're all Olympians anyway. So like, even if you don't get a medal, you're like,
you can still say that you
badass.
Did
that.
You did that. Next up. So Quinn, who plays for the Canadian women's national soccer team, but Quinn mm-hmm. is the first out transgender person in the Olympics, uses they, them pronouns, to compete for a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Which is extremely exciting cool. and super hype for Quinn. Quinn also plays on Olympic Linus over in Seattle on that team. And is just like, these are the types of things. Like, regardless, Quinn is going home with a medal.
Yeah.
And that's amazing because awesome. They're going into the finals.
Yeah.
So congrats there.
I do want to stop here. How you feeling, friend? You was up at 4 a.m.
Oh, don't do
and
it.
And I think it's fine. Like, I think it's shitty that, like, I you know, I'm kind of grateful for this Olympics because I think us as a country, like, I'm okay with any time we're humbled and everything. So,
like, that's fair.
Like, while like, the U.S. women's team, like, to me, it's just like, okay, like, you literally can't win them all. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's really that. Like, you can't win them all. And it's soccer. It's a, you know, like,
yeah,
Sweden, Canada, like, it could come from anybody. Brazil, like, you could get sniped by anybody. Like, of course, we would have wanted a better showing. But, like, I mean, there's some great soccer being played.
There's globally. Absolutely, like, the women's games have all been great and fun, mm-hmm. high quality, all the things. Obviously... I have not slept in the last like couple of weeks and we haven't really showed up and showed out. Like, we honestly, even though that goal for the penalty was bullshit, I still do think that we deserve to be beat. Like, we did not come together. We did not put things together. It was honestly like our worst showing for the U.S. women's national team. And I did a whole like tweet thread about this because I posted it in my friend group. Because obviously I have a friend soccer group. I posted in my friend group and they all reacted well. So I posted it on Twitter and I basically put out there that it was like one.
I love that you trialed it with them first to see.
Yeah.
Like, how is this? You know, this
sometimes,
gonna land?
Sometimes you got to see. You never know what's going to be the thing that goes viral.
Right.
So,
I'm like, Shayna.
Thank you.
Did you know you're trending?
Right. I'd be like, crazy.
Right. So I was like, you're trending over this?
And said that, you know, we have a new coach. This is his first big tournament. Like, he's been doing all of the other tournaments. Of course, he's, like, right now, he was, like, I forget if it was, like, 44 or 55 or something, and 1-0. Like, dude hadn't lost, but we also hadn't really played many teams that like were at the caliber that we should have been playing. And each of the ties that we got were from those teams that we were like, were matching the caliber of what we needed to do. And so he decided to come out with the safe option, and everybody knows what we're going to do. It didn't really change from what we did at the World Cup. He basically brought all of the same people from the World Cup, did the same lineup. So do you think that coaches are not going to pay attention and figure out how to strategize against these things and know who our powerhouse people are and all of that? And he didn't really bring in. The only reason that we got some new people on was because they extended who could be on the roster. The roster was supposed to be 18 people and they extended it to 22. So some of the people who came in and actually made an impact were alternates, technically. And so it's like, you can't continue to go and do the same thing and then expect teams, like for us to just continue to beat teams. Other programs are being built out. Women are getting more funding in sports. They're doing things like we can't just show up and do the same stuff. So he has to go out here and remake a whole team, start building out people, start phasing out some of these older players that we have or ones that we've had around for a while and keep it moving. So I hope that he does get creative and gets a bit less safe and kind of more crazy. But I think we're moving into an age where the U.S. women's national team is no longer going to be guaranteed to win anymore.
Which is,
I think that's
okay,
where we're at. You know, and I think that's great because it's going to make competition so much better. I feel like now we're so used to winning everything that it just becomes more and more devastating when it's like, it's a sport. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and we don't want to keep it that way forever for us to be crushing everyone. That's no fun.
Right.
So.
And you just can't stay on top forever.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't.
It's unrealistic. Like even if you are going to stay on top, you're still going to lose a couple on the way. So,
yeah.
Expect to be great. I still expect the U.S. to be, like, in the top 10 at all times, but doesn't mean that they have to win everything because I expect all of these other programs to build up too.
Yeah. And as they should. So, I mean, it's all right. And we got to normalize that too. Like, I'm fine with it, but just us as Americans, like, being okay with, like, second place, third place.
I know. Everybody was like, gold or nothing this year. Right. Like, and I was
and
just
that's
like,
what we grew up with. Like,
they got medals. Yeah. Like, they medaled. Like, fucking Raven Sanders. Raven Polk Sanders up here.
Yeah.
Holding X's on podiums and stuff. But it's like, yeah, she got a whole medal. That means you are technically the second best in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. If I get any one of those medals, I am a happy person. And that is fine. Like some of our, even some of the, like the track runners, there's one guy who was upset that he got silver. He was like, it just didn't deliver like I should. And I was like, bro, but you got silver. Like, I'm sure you didn't, you know, compete the way you wanted to. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. It was one of our hurdlers, I think. And he was upset and he was like, it just didn't come together. And I was like, bro, you got a medal though. Like, you still need to be proud of the effort that you had. You're up here on the stage going against the best of the best, and you are officially, based off of this medal, one of the best of the best.
Yeah.
So go and win. But I understand the mentality, but huge shout out to Raven Sanders for shouting out the Black LGBTQ plus and those who are struggling with mental health, folks. And just like, if you've, have you seen her TikToks?
I haven't seen her TikToks. No.
Her TikToks are hilarious. No. She was just like, fucking creating chaos all over the Olympic Village.
Oh yeah,
all That's over. So it was funny. Like finding people and like playing music and getting them to dance, and they were all from like different countries and stuff, and just wreaking havoc.
Yeah,
but then also the stories that she had, where she was like, "I didn't do this by myself," and like showing photos of her with her teammates, and I just loved it. I loved that was the energy that I was very happy to see. Like the Olympic Committee tried to come for her for a second with the X on the podium because you know they have their rules against how you can protest and all the other things that you can do, but they established that it was fine. And I was like, damn right you did. Don't make the court
I saw
come
her
after you.
Tweet about being like that. She had captioned the photo of her like hulking up, basically saying like, what did she say? It was like, when you get to the final mask, lesbian boss and everything. And I was like, no, that is that is absolutely it. But also prayers up, because it broke like yesterday or the day before that her mother passed away. So prayers up to her and everything. So sad. Yeah, just wanted to say that because that had just come out. And I was like, God damn, that's... So prayers to her for that. I do like the Olympics... like the best part of the Olympics is learning which new queer athletes to stan globally. So this has been a great Olympics to be like, oh, welcome my new heroes,
right?
And everything.
I love all these great new follows that I have. Yeah. I love following new athletes. It's my favorite.
Yeah. It's been an interesting Olympics. It's been weird.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to, I mean, it's in Tokyo, it's hard to watch or keep up with and everything. I think the only live event that I watched was like,
I don't even know.
I watched some of the earlier track and field qualifying, which was interesting. I didn't get to see the 100-meter final, which I wanted to see.
Jamaica, oh yeah, that was good.
Swept the podium and everything, so that was cool and not surprising.
I felt the wind through my TV.
You said what?
I said I felt the wind
through my TV. Yeah, they broke like FloJo's record that's like been up for 33 years and everything. I was like, damn, I'm actually surprised they didn't break it sooner because it's, right. Yeah. And that's another thing, like with Sha'Carri, because like when she qualified, Jamaican Twitter was like, we'll see. Rightfully so.
Rightfully. Like, I stopped and they were like, oh, that's a cute number. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
You can come and flock to that with just all the, and honestly, if it was going to be anybody, it's going to be somebody from one of the islands. And
Exactly. We go back and forth with it, but like, yeah. Jamaican track athletes and sprinters, like, nah, you don't want to fuck with that.
I want to see the next like world championship that has Jamaica and the U.S. against each other.
I think that's coming up.
And I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I am going to watch that. That's going to be great because I know Sha'Carri is supposed to be in that one. Yep. So definitely want to see how that goes because she, you know, bless her heart, she might get smoked. So shout out to her. Did we get to talk about Simone Biles? I don't know if we...
Oh, yeah, no. Shout out to Simone Biles.
Not. Yeah.
Mainly
mental health on the main stage.
Main stage. Okay. Glad that she was able to come back and do the beam. Glad that she was able to medal.
Yeah.
Got to sit and watch the emotions through that because she did hers like third or fourth out of everyone. So she got to sit and watch. But oh my gosh, the Chinese gymnast who went, apparently Simone Biles is like her favorite gymnast. And so when you hear somebody yelling in the background, it's actually Simone that's yelling.
Nice.
I thought it was a coach.
What a great person.
And then they came back and were like, oh, you heard all of that person yelling in the background? It was Simone the entire time. And I'm just like, I love this. I loved the team camaraderie. I loved, like, I didn't love that Simone had to sit out and couldn't have the Olympics that she wanted, but I loved that she was able to have the strategy. And I don't even know if this, like, she realized it was strategy or not, but being able to not do what she was doing allowed all of her teammates to medal.
Yeah, exactly, which was good. What is it, Sunsi Lee that medaled, who was the first Hmong American? I'm just like saying something like, let me look this
the first
up.
Hmong American, yes.
There you go. Yeah, like, but then that's the beauty of the Olympics and having a good team and being a good teammate, because like, first off, the danger in having the twisties and just even just learning as a person what the twisties
what the
are,
twisties which were. Sounds like, that awful. Sounds
that sounds awful.
It's like for you to throw yourself up in the air and then you sit and your body's like, absolutely not. And
yourself?
Just says, I'm done. That's terrible.
No, I could barely do a cartwheel. It's like, just like, whatever.
Oh,
people
she's quitting,
that just.
Blah, blah, blah. Retired Olympians were like, she needs to suck it up. Fucking Djokovic. Who's like, oh, Simone needs to do better. And the next day goes and breaks
his
racket.
Tantrum.
Like, fuck right off. Serena's over here sitting
people
and sipping.
People literally sitting in their seats telling an Olympic gymnast that she's not, like, she's soft and she's not, like, she just isn't tough enough. And, like, Simone is already medaled up. Like, Simone has, between world championships and Olympic medals, has like over 25 medals. And we're talking about, I don't know, I don't think she's cut out for this. Like, it's like, what are y'all talking about?
So. It's almost like the internet forgets history.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they do.
The
but
time.
People just want hate that
they want to
these
hate on
younger athletes. That too, but even just these younger athletes and Gen Z again, like, prioritizing their mental health. Like, they hate that.
They hate
like
it
they
so much.
Hate
like,
it.
I didn't
they
get to
hate
go through
it.
That. And we're like, thank you for your trauma response here.
Right.
Just because we had to go through it doesn't mean that we're better for it. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But,
well,
you know,
to round it out on ridiculous, fucking category is the crybaby and the Matt Damon. Equaling just.
Let me just say that
your
we
casual
are
homophobia.
Minding our business. And these two just out of nowhere with their casual homophobia. And by now, like, everybody knows what and has seen the video of DaBaby and the fallout and, you know, his comments at Rolling Loud. But if you haven't, he made comments, derogatory comments towards people living with AIDS and homophobic references about niggas sucking dick in the parking lot, which is like the weirdest. And then there's so much like, okay, there's so much to this. It's just like, you just have to laugh sometimes to keep from crying because it's right. That was bad enough. Like, I remember last Monday waking up and it just being like all over, you know, social and everything, where it's just like, I was like outraged, but I wasn't surprised because DaBaby has been on this path of just doing problematic shit. So I wasn't surprised and everything. And it was just like another thing of like, I'm not going to support this guy. What hurt me the most was the double downs. Like he had tried to like pull like a respectability thing with like, oh, my gay fans don't have AIDS and they aren't junkies and they don't suck dick in the parking lots. They have 5-star hotel. Like the weirdest fucking shit. Like he's so dumb. And then he doubled down all last week, released a stupid video. Like just like it was ongoing all week. Like it could have stopped. And knowing how celebrity culture and just all that, like had he said that and just apologized the next day, even if he didn't mean it or he wasn't sincere, which he's not anyway. It would have just blown over because they would have just been like, okay, like it really would have just probably blown over after a day or two.
Yeah.
He dragged it out all last week. You had Elton John comment. You had Madonna. Yeah,
Dua Lipa removing the remix.
Yeah. Like you had all these people.
You had Meg Thee Stallion at Lollapalooza canceling him. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. It was just like, okay, so he wants to be canceled. I haven't seen this level of like wanting to be canceled since like Daniel Caesar telling people to cancel him. And they were like, all right. So it's like the weirdest thing. Like, I'm just like, okay. And I knew, and there's like this cycle, especially with like black men, where it's just like, nah, I'm gonna stand in this shit. And like, he talked his shit all last week, not take accountability. And then when he does get canceled, he's a victim. Where it's just like, what are you talking about? Like, it made no sense at all to have a call and response like that. Like, that was another thing he tried to, like, say, like, oh, I'm a performer. Like, it was a call to action or call and response and everything, which he could have literally said almost anything else. Like, put your cell phone lighters in the, your cell phone light in the air if you have shoes on. I don't know. He could have said anything
else.
And he was very specific about it, which is still just very weird. And then he issues this apology on this week. And it's still not taking accountability because he like starts with like people trying to get after him and all that. And like, it just didn't make any sense. And then he had the nerve to say that we didn't educate him.
Right.
It was just like the anatomy of just like this bullshit is wild. Google. Yeah, he's like 29. He's a grown ass man. He could Google himself. If he felt so compelled to say that on stage, he could have Googled all this information or just kept silent. Maybe just not say any of that shit. So he was dropped from pretty much every festival it seems like he was on. Like I was like, God damn, like it's all of these festivals dropped him. There was a story of Billboard that came out this week about how Lollapalooza was actually gonna let him still perform, and DaBaby's team had promised to have a recorded video or apology that he would turn into them, and then, you know, he would say it during his performance. He never turned that in, and then that's why they canceled his show and everything. Which is interesting. Like I was like, so he really had so many chances. And that was my thing of like, they really wouldn't even have done all this because they will give men all the runway to like make amends and everything. Yeah. But it was fascinating to watch somebody just self-sabotage in that way. Like, and he's not even talented enough to like separate, you know, from like the art from the artists and everything. Yeah. Like, I just don't understand like who the fuck, like, I wonder if somebody from his team wanted to like snatch his phone the whole time. You can't, but I get, I mean, I think they could try, but he's still going to find a way. But I just, yeah, since Daniel Caesar, I haven't seen anybody just want to be canceled so bad,
right,
and all that. So, I mean, fuck him. But all right, like, fuck him. Matt Damon, this one was weird. This came out of nowhere too, mm-hmm. where Matt Damon just like volunteered in an interview that he just like recently stopped saying the F word, and that his daughter had to like write, I think she wrote like an article or something, not an article. She wrote something out basically explaining why he shouldn't say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why this even came up.
I feel like because he felt like he was doing the right thing by admitting that he's made progress, and he wanted the people to pat him on the back for it.
Men are so weird. I just don't understand them.
It's like the stories that they pull out. You're like, there are so many other things that happen in your day-to-day life, and that's the one that you want in on?
Yeah.
That's the one that you want to share with the world to be like, look at me, progress.
Right.
Progress.
Right. Like, I don't know what was supposed to be uplifting about that, or just like, oh, great. Okay, Matt Damon's not saying the F word anymore. Uh-huh. Oh, thank God. Thank God he's not saying the F word anymore.
That interviewer was over here taking fast and furious notes. They were like, yeah. Oh, really? Tell me more.
Yeah, tell me
more. Let me hear the whole story.
tell me more.
They were like, this is going to go viral. Then, they are ready.
His backtrack was very interesting because he, like, this comes out, obviously, people are like, what the fuck? And he mm-hmm. gets pushback. And then it's like one of the last things, like he's basically saying like he didn't say that, or just trying to back up from like saying that he didn't say that, which is so weird. And it's like, but you did, like mm-hmm. you literally told us this. Like,
these are your
minding
words.
Our own business. I don't know what it is, what's in the air besides the Delta variant, but it's like something with cishet men in these like last 2 weeks. They're just like, let's fuck with the gay community. Like, let's mm-hmm. let's fuck with them and all that. Just like, unsolicited, unwarranted, just, yeah, let's just do this. So a lot of casual homophobia, a lot of different talks. There's a lot of talks that came out of at least the baby's conversation with like the standards marginalized communities have. And unfortunately, because a lot of the talk on like the other side defending the baby was like, oh, well, y'all didn't say anything about Meg, or y'all mm-hmm. didn't, you know, his lyrics are problematic and talk about drugs and all that. And it's like, that's not good either. However, and unfortunately, as a Black community, that is what's in our music, or that is what we at least accept enough for other people to accept. And like, mm-hmm. we push that to the forefront. So Black and queer, Black and white queer people don't have a lot of things that they agree on. But you will not disrespect us. Like, we will unite in a moment for disrespect. Like, we just will. Like, we just don't allow that. Like, we're not going to allow people to disrespect us as a community. And this is what you get for that. And again, like, our even like the perception of our power is like that we just get people canceled immediately. DaBaby had nothing but chances to right his wrongs with this. Like, again, they weren't going to cancel him from these festivals. He just like defiantly wanted to like just stand on his shit and say like, nah, I meant that, and like give weird like excuses and stuff. So it's been a week. It has been a week. If I don't hear DaBaby or just any variation of Duh anymore, I'm good. It's been funny, but I'm like, I am so tired of just hearing shit like that. So yeah.
Here we are.
It's been a week. It has been a week.
Let's keep it moving.
All right. Well, let's go. Is anything else on that? Oh, we didn't say Maria Taylor. She's
shout out to Maria Taylor first Olympics. For killing it on NBC.
Shout out to Maria Taylor. Love Maria Taylor. Love the pics and the videos. I also love seeing Amber Ruffin out in Tokyo. That's
just out doing stuff on the streets. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and transition to our advice segment, Am I a Bad Queer? Send your questions to badqueers@theherapp.com to be featured. All right.
Yes. We're going to get started in a whole new light here. Whole new light.
What you got?
Whole new light, friend. Whole new light, friend. So everybody.
Free bad advice. Let's go.
We asked and you delivered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are going to turn this week's Am I a Bad Queer into a Chris's marriage advice segment. Thanks all of you who sent in questions from a married bad queer who is going to answer your questions about married life, what it's like, the things that we need to know about because we don't get to hear about them or see them because media sucks. Chris, are you ready? This is solo marriage questionnaire that's happening. Okay, first question that I'm going to ask you. Did you and your wife propose to each other? And if so, was there any animosity from the first person to propose to the second person who hadn't proposed yet?
Oh, that's interesting. No, I proposed to my wife. No animosity there. I think I probably would have felt a way if she proposed to me, though.
Yeah?
All that. Yeah, I think I would have probably felt a little bit away. I don't know. Probably just traditional, like, those gender norms that you got to unlearn. But I don't know. I would have just felt like I wanted to propose first and everything. And it was like fun finding the ring and being secretive and stuff. It's probably that part of it where it's just like, that kind of stuff is fun and all that. Yeah. So I would have been like, oh, I didn't get to do that. So, yeah. More so I think I'm not against, like, I don't think women have to or men have to propose or anybody in the mask position have to propose. But yeah, I would have probably felt away just because I wanted to, like, be able to surprise, you know, it's like one of those things. Like, it's a surprising, it's like, oh, being out surprised. It's like, oh yeah.
Like, okay, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, yes. Look, yeah, I guess.
I accept, but
still, just a little salt, just a little sodium.
Just a little bit. Is it as gay as they say? With queer art boards, cappuccino, breakfast in the morning, vibrant herb gardens. Is your marriage as gay as they say?
No. No, I
mean, there are elements. I mean, don't lie to the people. There are elements.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think
you push your dog in a child's cart.
No, who does? Who does?
You?
Who pushes it? I push nothing. I have nothing to do with that stroller.
You walk around with that stroller.
She bought the stroller. She bought the stroller for him. I have never pushed that stroller. And I will never push that stroller.
You're like, did
you know what happened there?
This
is an angry tangent. Because you know what happened there is, like, he hates walking. And when I take him for a walk, he looks annoyed where he's like, where's my other parent? Like, more responsible parent that will put me in a stroller. Like, I think I hate strollers for dogs personally. So. Maybe that's gay on her part, but I don't subscribe to that stroller stuff. I wouldn't say that it is, like, really gay. I don't know. There's not anything I could point out to say that, like, oh, that's really gay what we do besides being gay. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah. And brunching. That's cute. I don't know. Yeah.
Brunch is real.
No, not really. Yeah. I guess we also, I will say, because obviously we brought this up a couple weeks ago, like, well, we started to go out less probably like a year or two ago a year or so before COVID. Mm-hmm. So I guess that happens. But I mean, there was still a good, strong, like, 6 years of going out and still doing stuff while in a relationship. So I mean, and then marriage is such a, it is a business decision too. So you gotta like it's not really like gay and glamorous and we're just doing gay things all day. Like,
just yachts and sparkles.
Yeah.
And shit.
Right. Yeah. None of that. Yeah. So
that's so funny.
Hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah. I hope so too. We'll see if that person writes back.
Free bad advice.
Speaking of gender norms, do you feel pressure to have kids?
I think I did at
black community
one point. Yeah. I think definitely at some point I did. Just because, you know, we're in our early 30s and, you know, yeah, you gotta do it soon, or it is high risk. So yeah, more biological pressure than anything, mm-hmm. and all that. And I think also, for us, I grew up with in a two-parent household, and my parents were married for 20 plus years. And she grew up with her grandma and aunt and everything. So I think she had a rosier view of marriage, and mm-hmm. I didn't. So, So I think a lot, like, we dated for a longer amount of time because I was like, we got to see what we both grow into with the people we grow into, and like, make absolutely sure, because I was just like, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So I think that also added to the pressure, because I felt bad because I delayed it. So then it's just like, oh wow, like, you know, biologically we gotta get going. So
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, that's not something you definitely want to rush into, but biological clock.
Yeah.
Oof, isn't it?
Yeah. Sucks.
What are things that need to be talked about before the wedding?
Before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. Finances for sure. I mean, weddings are expensive, and we had like a de facto destination wedding because we went back to the East Coast to have it instead of having it in California. So the finances of everything, and making sure like you're not overdoing it, or, you know, if you have the money to overdo it, you know, whatever. Definitely one of the things also, which could be important for some, is to have somebody who is the day of operations person on mm-hmm. that special day, which we literally hired somebody who sucked. So one of our other just operations focus friends, like, totally blew her out of the water, and it was still fine and everything. Yeah. No real hiccups, but like, we had like literal friends step up, and we had paid somebody to be our, like, our point person for the day. So that is important to have that, because you don't want, like, my wife is so good at operations and like would do it herself, but we like made a point where you can't do that on the day of, like, you're supposed mm-hmm. to enjoy it. So have somebody in place. You don't have to hire somebody. I wouldn't have. It was actually, I also didn't want to hire anybody, but I don't want to hire anybody, but you should have someone that is like kind of running the operations of that special day. So that should be a consideration.
Yep.
Those are the two that are big, like finances and the day of operations of things. We didn't have any really other like friction points. Like, she, like, we did pretty good planning things out together, mm-hmm. as far as like colors and like, like, there wasn't anything else big, just finances and the day of person.
I love that. Good call. Okay. How would you describe queer married life to the single ladies out here who want it?
Very rewarding work. Very rewarding work.
Elaborate. Yeah. Tell us more.
You know, as I mentioned before, just like a child of divorce, but like, they were together for 25 years. Like, I've seen people stay in bad relationships for a long time, my mm-hmm. parents, and I've seen people, and I also had relatives that really had a good marriage that was like, you, like, a great example and everything. So it could go either way. And I saw people who were in long-term like partnerships, or, you know, situationships in some cases, mm-hmm. where it works out. So I would say that make sure it's something you want, because it is a business decision. There's a lot of finances that come into it. Like, even the taxes alone of getting married is crazy. If you have student loans, like, that's a big thing. There is, the marriage tax is very real. Mm-hmm. But it's rewarding work, because you have your person. Like, it is very rewarding to, like, basically take your relationship to that next level, and like, know that you're so serious about somebody that despite all those things I mentioned, like, you want to be with this person for the rest of your life, and you want to figure things out, like, with that person and, you know, all those things. So like, this is the person I'm going to do that with. This is the person I'm going to grow with. All of those things. So it is rewarding, but it is work. I mean, they, you know, people have said it before. It is cliche, but very true. It is work. It's everyday work. So yeah, but it is like you're, it's just a higher level. It's cool to be married. Like for one thing, and this is stupid and petty, but like I usually lose things. I have not lost my ring yet. And I just think I'm coming up on 2 years. I just think that that is nothing but respect for what this ring is, because I will lose anything. But I like make it a point to like, I like my ring. Like I didn't even like rings before I got married, but like, this is like the, like it can unlock anything to me. Like, I'm just like, this is it. This is the ring. Like you gotta, like cherish every part of like being married. So yeah.
I love this. I love it. What's a strategy that works for you when you seemingly come to an impasse or something? It can be silly or serious.
I think we're still kind of getting our conflict styles worked out. That is something that's like just ongoing. I know definitely there's like a thing with relationships. It's called like fair fight rules. That is great to have, where there's just lines you won't cross. That's important to have. And then other things to kind of diffuse the moments. Definitely when things get like too hot and too crazy, like just like being willing to be like, okay, we should come back to this, because this is only going to get worse, or it's going to get nothing's going to be accomplished. So just knowing that. And then I guess on the sillier end of things, like maybe there's something that can easily diffuse a situation. Like if she hugs me or gives me a kiss, like I can't really stay mad and all that. So that works. Or like for me, I don't know, she's an acts of service person, so I might like, I don't know, get the Swifter out. something.
Like, or she's like, look at me. In the middle of argument, like, look at me.
I'm doing it. Things like that, but you gotta figure out your person's like in case of emergency thing and all that.
How to get him to come back.
Yeah, like quickly. So that's important.
I love this. Okay. I'm gonna do one last question.
Okay.
We had more, but I'm gonna do one last one because of time. So how do you keep the relationship fresh? And do you feel that you can have more experimental experiences and adventures in comparison to your straight married friends?
Oh, you could definitely have more experimental experiences. We have less like hangups about things, which is a blessing. I think learning new things together is pretty cool. If you know your partner and you've grown with your partner, like, yeah, marriage is like, yeah, it's a financial decision and it is business, but it is also an investment in a good way. So like, we've had a relationship where we always like care about each other, like holistically, like just like all the way around. So like, it's fun to suggest things that they might not see that they should do, whether that's professionally or personally, where it's just like, you're clearly paying attention. And that's like a way to kind of instantly make things fresh. I guess on the smaller level, it's like obviously traveling and, you know, always going out to eat or trying new things is like, that keeps things fresh. But like, if you can, like, you should pay attention to your partner enough where you're suggesting things that they're not thinking of, or that you're doing the work for them to like, hey, like you're presenting this, and then it's like, you should do this because it'll help you with this. If that makes sense. So like, yeah, like you invest in them, like you care, about like everything that they do. So like, make suggestions, like make it known that you're paying attention to them.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Or and also down to like the little things of like buying them clothes, or buying a thoughtful gift, or doing something thoughtful, you know, with like notes or whatever, just random stuff like that. Like, oh, like since she's acts of service, like taking her car to get it washed and everything, randomly, stuff like that will definitely earn you some points, keep things fresh. And yeah.
Pay attention. Yeah. Now.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Well, thank you, Chris, for letting me come into your house once again.
Yeah.
Just had to be sure. Yeah. But the people, thank you for answering the call and sending these questions in so that I could continue to ask Chris about her married life. But, you know, as much as we got positive advice and helpful advice, and hopefully it sticks out to some of y'all who are thinking about marriage, or even if you are already married, and hopefully that helped with something. Yeah. We also equally have to balance it out with our bad queer opinions, because what type of bad queers will we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? So I'm going to go ahead and get started, since I just bombarded Chris with all these questions. So this could be a bad queer opinion. I mainly think it's just because we have a trauma response to the original L word, but I love the new L word. And I'm very excited for the new episode that's coming out this Friday. I know this episode will come out on Monday, but I'm very excited for the episode coming out and to have this new season and all the things that are going to happen. Like, I know people down my street, crazy. So yeah, so I'm invested in the new characters. I am here for the drama that they left off with the cliffhanger. All of the teasers that Autostraddle has been posting is great. Like, I'm invested and I'm here for it. And I love the L Word Generation Q.
Well, it is certainly a better reboot than most series. So it will be back on Friday, which it should be interesting. I didn't finish season one. Like, I got halfway through, and then, I don't know, did I get distracted or something? I don't know, but I need to finish it.
Just, I do want to see it. I feel like you just stopped. You were like, oh.
I probably did.
I'm
probably just
done. I'm just done. Like, I'm just tired.
And stop. Just halfway through, just like,
you. I feel done. Like we had a conversation where you were just like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean anymore. Like, I feel like that was a direct quote that you said, where it's like,
yeah, I might. I think that is what I said. I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah. Because it's funny, because it's like the reboot happened like right when I started at her, and like we met, and obviously the name Bad Queers comes from it, Generation Q. So, yeah, I'll try and light that fire up again. And
wow, you do not sound like you're going to do that. Sure don't.
And everything. I will, sure. I mean, there's nothing. This is the point of the summer where there's like not really much going on. So it's right before fall. TV comes back and everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, why not? You know, sure.
So enthused.
And, I feel it. And people did like it. You know, people do like the reboot. Like,
it was good. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's got the stuff.
Yeah. And I like that they righted their wrongs with a lot of different things. So, and all
They definitely have more trans characters, more diversity. Still messy, which is good. But
yeah.
All of the stuff. Also, also, I think like the pieces of seeing like queer women in like positions of power, having like a polysphere happening, even though it ended in a hot mess, like things like that. Sorry if that was a spoiler for somebody, but rewatch.
I mean, it'll be fine. They don't know who. That's fine. So yeah, okay. I'll pick it back up. We'll see what's going on. We'll see what's going on.
No part of this sounds like you're going to do it. Wow, you just put your own people's on.
Because we should talk about it.
Let me just entertain you. Like,
okay. I'm going to watch it because we should recap it and everything.
Yes, we should.
It's no
we
pose. Should.
It's not pose.
It's no pose. All,
so pose is on a whole different level.
And that's why pose spoiled me. So
yeah, honestly, it spoiled all of us. And
yeah.
I wanted to come back. Yeah. It's not going to, and I get it. But fine. What's your back queer opinion, Chris?
And again, I think that was a good point of the trauma response to the L word, because it's the original, and then I grew up and I was like, you know, kind of thing, where it's just like, no, it does suck. Or, you know, it was very problematic.
You weren't 100% wrong, but also a little bit less messy.
I just felt betrayed. I did feel betrayed. So, but you know, we got to allow for growth, right? Got to allow for growth. That is? So, and they did grow. They did grow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll recap it. And I want to recap it too. I'm sure there's some mess going on. So, and Shane has a black girlfriend, right? I had heard that. So I need to go back in.
Okay. Yes.
Or wife.
Yes.
Wife, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's a whole thing too.
I did see that from the the internets when that was. I was like, and that almost actually literally just that almost made me go back.
Almost got you to go back. Yeah. See, the power in bringing in black people. That's what you just need to do.
It really is. You know, does Netflix do that to you or your streaming services? Like, I think we talked about this before. Like, Netflix definitely does this. They will show, they'll show you like a movie where it's really honestly like the main character is like a white lead, but they'll show the one black character and it'll look like it's like a pretty diverse movie. And
yeah, then it's not. Absolutely. Like,
they do that all the time.
Netflix does that. It shows me like the black voices. Shows it's definitely caught on to the fact that like I am very queer, so it's now like pulling that up for me, and I'm just like, okay, like I like to text my friends and see which featured movie is at the top of their Netflix and then which one's at the top of mine, because I stop and I'm like, wow, we have a whole there's a whole different world happening over here, and then I go to my friends and I watch it on their Netflix and I completely fuck up their algorithm based off the things that I make them watch, and I'm like, you're welcome. Sorry for building that up.
Like, oh, what? Like, they thought it got them. Like, who is this? Did they move? So, okay, yeah, I'll go back and watch it though. It'll be a good watch.
Proud of you.
Anyhow, my bad queer opinion is just letting studs know it's okay to cry during an argument. Don't be afraid to let out your emotions. Your voice can only crack for so much. So just let it out. Like, just let it out. Just cry. Why are we not crying? Like, I mean, some of us are just crying during it, like that angry cry. Like, that's me. It's just like, where you get angrier that you're crying. Like, where it's just like, God damn it. We just, like, I just started.
I hate when I get the angry cry. I hate that shit so much. It just ruins everything that you're saying.
Everything. Everything. And then you can't, like, once you angry cry, like, it is the wettest of tears too. Yep. Like, it's just like
tears, the snot don't let you comes like out.
Start to get snot. Fortunately, I don't get to the snotty point too much, but it's like it'll get like, it's just like, what are these wet tears, like this river,
and it's hot.
But yeah, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay to let it out, you know. I guess we can embrace the angry cry, because I mean, you're angry and it's okay to cry when you're angry, you know. And just side note, if I had a gang, it would be called the Crying Studs. So,
oh my god,
I think
that's such an on brand gang for you.
Yeah,
you know where that would, you know where that would fit great though?
Where?
With Black Lady Sketch Show and their gang.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Their self-care that gang.
That's puzzle piece right there
with the Crying Studs gang, and they're going to therapy
and get a massage
and talking about feelings and doing whatever. That's such a good
that would be so good.
The Crying Studs sketch show again. Like, just add us on some credits, shuffle us a little coin, you take the idea and run. That's it.
Crying Studs. Would love it.
Crying Studs. Man, I would want the jean jacket of that, because I feel like...
Open. I know. It would actually be different variations. Yeah. Yeah. The logo, we'll see what's out there. There's a designer out there.
Have your own brand of like pocket. Great. The pocket swatches, so that you're already ready.
Yeah.
When the tears come.
So ready to go.
I believe that. That's beautiful.
That's funny. When the tears come, just like have these custom like, oh, wow. They're like, wow.
Just ready.
Great Crying branding Studs. For that gang.
Coming in here, it absorbs 10 times as much because we got more tears in there.
Yeah, be like, don't cry yet. Cry on command. All that stuff. Practice our crying together.
Like, you see the lips start to quiver and you're like, not yet.
Right.
Now let it out.
You know, thankfully my lip doesn't quiver, but yeah. You're a quiver.
I'm absolutely a quiver. It's even worse when I'm mad. And my lip gives it fucking away. And I'm like, it's on the verge of tears. Oh my God. My ex used to use that against me so much and I hated it. And I would sit and get mad and then the lip would quiver and you will cry. I'm like, no.
Oh,
it was like
shit.
Being a kid.
And then that just makes it worse. That makes it worse when somebody made me so angry. Because it's just, yeah.
So angry. Oof.
I feel like the crying really does help you to like, I don't know. I just think it helps because I wouldn't want to just like, you just feel the emotions a little bit more when you cry, you know? Because, because you're like, if I'm crying, then that means I'm very upset. So you should just cry. That's why it's okay to cry. Like, you can't, like, I couldn't imagine now, like in my like older age being like I used to hate that and be self-conscious about that. Because again, you just want to be like, nah, like fuck that and be all hard. But it's just like, No, you're really hurt. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and let it out. Just cry.
Let it out. Crying sucks. Let it out, friend.
No, just let it out. Just let it out. Some like, it's gonna get out of hand, and we're just like crying sucks. Just gonna cry out,
sobbing on the streets.
It. Yeah, yeah. Or just using it against it, like do something wrong and just start crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hope we can use that. Don't weaponize the cry, but you know, if you gotta cry, cry. So
like, actually, yeah, go ahead and cry. Just cry. Well, yeah, that's a great note to move on to our shout outs with. As you know, we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. So I'm going to shout out. I got this place from Max. So shout out to Max.
Oh, for, okay.
Shout out Max. Shout this place out and appreciate you. So Gaze the Word Bookshop in London. Gaze the Word. It is the UK's oldest LGBTQ+ bookshop. It was established by a group of gay socialists in January 1979 when mainstream bookshops were resistant about the idea of stocking queer books.
Wow.
And nice. I love it. I love it. So you can follow them at Gaze the Word Bookshop on the gram.
Okay. Sometimes I feel like socialism just needs a rebrand. Like there's nothing wrong
honestly,
with it.
Honestly, they really do.
It probably needs
honestly,
a new word.
Does. But that's yeah, a
reparations too. I was like, call it something else. You owe it though. Like, you owe it. So if you don't like the word, that's fine. But we need it. All right. My shout out is to Tig Notaro. Tig Notaro has a new stand-up special on HBO Max called Drawn. And like it's animated, so it's really cool. Like it's just different animations of her different bits and everything, and it's really entertaining, and I just love Tig anyway. Just
that's a way to make money during COVID. Be like, right. Sure, let's do my stand up, but do it in animation, so I don't
it's
have to
so
be there in
cool.
front of people.
Exactly. I thought it was really clever, and again, it's like all different animations during the different bits, so it's not just the same animation, and it's great. So check it out. Ellen executive produced it. I know that Tig and Ellen are.
They're besties. Our
friends and everything. Yeah, they're besties. So it's good. See, these are the things I want Ellen to do. Just keep doing this.
Yeah.
And I want a stand-up special from Ellen soon. So
yeah, hopefully. An R-rated one. Amazing.
R-rated, yes.
R-rated.
When she comes out in like Eddie Murphy, like red leather just outfit or just like a red leather blazer and all that, just like ready to go.
Right? And she stops and she's like, I actually borrowed this from Eddie. And he's just like in the front row, like cracking up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd love to see it.
That'd be great.
I'd love to see it.
That'd be great.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode, and we will see you next week.
Take care.
This podcast was brought to you by the Her app, the largest LGBTQ+ dating and community app for women, trans, and non-binary folks. Be sure to download the app in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing.
It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.